Welcome back, everybody, to the second episode of Monday Morning Drive. I will say I changed a little bit, and maybe you might even be able to tell by the audio in this that I am actually filming this. I'm actually recording this in my basement on Sunday. So maybe I can have this ready for you for your Monday Morning Drive. I did that for two reasons. I did that because the audio was pretty terrible on the first, on episode one. I still want you to go back and listen to it if you can. That would be super awesome. But it just wasn't, there's going to be a lot of hurdles that I'm going to have to jump in order to get that to sound right. But from what you will hear when you listen to episode one to what it started with, like, I started listening to it and it just sounded like I was stationed on an aircraft carrier and it sounded like planes landing, and it was terrible. The noise of the car, and you don't hear it when you're driving, but it's definitely there, all of this noise. So I do want to give a shout out to the guys down in Florida. The guys from Shattered Tabletop Games. And if you've never heard of them, go check them out. They made an RPG called Shattered Dawn. And what I did is I've been in, since I started talking to them about a year and a half ago, I asked them, or I put feelers out there, said, hey, I have this podcast and I'm going to need some help editing the audio because it is complete garbage. And David DeSanto came in and he said, I would do it for you. And I sent it to him and he made it much, much, much better. You can still hear, you can still hear the humming and stuff, but it's not like what it was. So I hope I didn't like break my promises. And this is, you know, this isn't really a drive to work, but it's maybe going to be for your drive to work on Monday. So maybe this will cheer you up. I do have, I have some work related stuff, and I do like a maintenance program at work. I kind of oversee it, and there's, you know, we have a mix of everybody. We have Spanish speaking people at our job, and we have English speaking people. So when I write emails, I write them in basically Google Translate. And I was writing a few emails last week, and I was as I'm writing them, and I mean, I can't, my Spanish is like muy mal. It is terrible. So I look over and I kind of see it, and I remember certain words, like when I write one word, I just keep saying the same one. So I'm learning it that way. But I really thought about it. I'm typing this up and I'm like, if there was somebody at Google just screwing with me, I'm typing all this stuff up and they're just typing some random stuff in there and I'm sending this out as a mass email to the maintenance crew. I thought that was it was a funny idea. I really hope that's not what's happening, but I wanted to share that with you because I was thinking about it on my drive home the other day, and I couldn't stop laughing. Like, this could be bad. But thank you, Google, for not doing that. Or if you are, please stop. But let's get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. And we will talk about a few games that are coming out that have been announced. One was announced just a few days ago. And the other one there's been talks of it. And to be completely honest, I just heard about this maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, but I am very excited about both of them. The first one that I heard about was Clank Legacy. So if you've never played Clank, it's by Renegade Games, but they are kind of grouping together, and I don't know if they're really grouping together. I think it's like Direwolf Digital and Penny Arcade, and you might know Penny Arcade is like PAX or PAX Unplugged and Philadelphia, but they've kind of made a legacy game that is going to be it just seems like it's going to be an awesome trip. Like, you work in in an office is what it sounds like. You work for a big corporation of adventurers. And I just feel like this is how I see it playing out in my head. Sorry, I'm jumping around a lot because I am super excited about this. So in Clank Legacy, you work for an adventurer group and you're doing these missions and trying to complete them. And I know a few things about it. I don't know a whole bunch about it, but from what I know is it just seems like the way that I picture it is like you're walking into work and they're like, "Hey, Carl, I need you to go down and there's a few monsters down in the dungeon. Can you go get $100 from them?" Like, I just, it's some wacky off the wall stuff is what I'm thinking. But the fact that it's Clank is awesome, and the fact that it's a legacy game is awesome. Clank, if you don't know, it had to be in the top, maybe my first five reviews that I put on diceatdust.com. It was Clank, the original game, and I love it. I mean, go ahead and read it and go visit diceatdust.com. But it is an awesome game, and it's a game that really got me into deck building and using cards, like cards having different abilities and using them for different things. And Clank really opened up what I played, and I mean, I love the game, and that's a game that I could never get rid of because of how much it's just such a good game. And another thing I love are legacy games. I played Pandemic Legacy Season 1. It's just the ever-changing... what's the other one there? Man, I can't remember. You're going through. You guys will tell me. Time Stories. That's the one. So, I love Time Stories. And the only real legacy game... And I haven't played them all. But the only real legacy game that I found boring was Charterstone. And I hate to say that because... Stegmaier makes some awesome games, but Charterstone just didn't do anything for me. And I hope they don't do this with Clank. I want it to be a great experience. So let's break it down. What I know about it is I know you work for an agency. You're doing Clank stuff, so you're going to be dungeon crawling and killing monsters and trying to go through certain obstacles with your cards. You're going to be getting gold, and you're trying to, I mean, it seems like you're working together. It seems like it's going to be a cooperative game, but that I'm not sure. But it just, oh, and it's going to run over 10 plus rounds, I believe. So depending, I'm guessing you can fail, kind of like in Pandemic Legacy. Like, if you fail, you replay it or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of just jibber-jabbering. But I am super excited because it's Clank. The next game, and this one I'm probably even more excited about. So if you've ever followed anything, followed me on social media, read anything on diceatdust.com, just watched any of my videos that pertain to this type of game or this game, then you know how much I like it. So I was looking at the Fantasy Flight website, and they have announced that they are bringing out an Arkham Horror game called Arkham Horror Final Hour. And I love the Arkham Horror games. I've played through and have just about every expansion for Arkham Horror the card game. I have just about every Arkham Horror game or Arkham-based game that Fantasy Flight has thrown out there. And the big reason, Fantasy Flight has done a very good job on these games, but what really brought me to these games is that I love H.P. Lovecraft's universe. I I have the Necronomicon on the other side of me. And the stories are rich and they're just so, oh, man, he's the godfather of horror for a reason. Like, this guy has made some awesome stories in this universe. There's no universe that has brought me so much joy by, like, just immersing myself in it than H.P. Lovecraft's Arkham and Cthulhu universe. It is just awesome. So when I saw this game, I had to read about it. And I will be honest, when I first read about it, it didn't sound much different. So the first half of this was pretty much of the same. You are adventurers. You're trying to stop cultists from a ritual because they're bringing out all these monsters. You're trying to find clues to do that. And I will be honest, I got halfway through it. I'm glad I read the whole thing because I got halfway through it and I'm like, this sounds like just about every Arkham horror game. So it kind of turned me off. Not saying I wouldn't buy it, but, you know, it wasn't going to be like, oh, I need to get this once it comes out. But as I continued to read, there was two different mechanisms that really caught my attention in this and is the reason that I will be purchasing this soon after it comes out. So the first one is, so okay, let's talk about Arkham Horror, the card game. If you've played an Arkham Horror game, you know that you're kind of going to these rooms and you're in a scenario and you're finding these clues and you're doing that by, you know, different checks, and you pull something out of a bag and it modifies whatever your ability is, and you pass or fail. And when you get this clue, but it's just, you know, it's a piece that's just like every clue piece. So you're trying to find enough clues to push the scenario ahead. And that's it. There's no real, it's not like, oh, I found a knife back here. It's just kind of, you can make up what you found, but it's just a clue. This one is kind of the same, but extremely different. As far as you can make up what the clue is, but there are different clues. So there's like, they come in shapes, and I don't remember the shapes exactly. I think there's a diamond, a circle, a square, whatever, but there's two of them each. And your goal is to deduce at the end of this game and figure out what the answer is. So as you find these clues, you're going to find, say you find a diamond, and you're like, oh, okay, so it's not that diamond. So there's two diamonds. So now you know that it's not one of those diamonds. And then you find another clue and say it's a square. So you're like, okay, so I know it's not a diamond or a square, but it could still be a diamond or a square. But when you find a second diamond or a second square, then that's when it changes. It's like, oh, okay, so that's not it. So you only have 8 rounds to figure it out. So toward the end of it, you're definitely going to be like, okay, let's really think about this. This could be this or this could be that. And that is, I think it's awesome. It's just a change of the clues. Like, it makes me feel like I'm finding real clues. The second part of that makes the first part of this a little hard. So Fantasy Flight doesn't want you talking throughout this, and there's probably going to be normal, you know, table talk and laughing and blah blah blah. But I know when I play Arkham Horror games, they're not really laughing. I'm pretty serious, so they don't want you to talk. Instead, you have cards with like initiatives, and you are going to be telling your group how important you think something is by the initiative of the card. So that makes this game extremely, or at least what I think it's going to be extremely difficult. You're trying to deduce this situation, yet you can't talk to your team and deduce this situation. Instead, you're using these cards, and then people just have to kind of say, yeah, okay, this, I believe you. This is what we should do. And it just seems like an awesome, awesome idea, and it seems like it's going to be a very, very difficult game. But like I said, I wasn't too sold through half of it. And then when I read the second half, I'm like, yeah, this is definitely something that I'm going to need to get. And that was, they were the two games that I heard about. What I played this weekend, I really didn't play much. I was supposed to go, and if you listened to the podcast last week, episode one, I was supposed to go to a birthday party, my nephew's birthday party, but my little daughter has been kind of keeping me up. I've been working on 2 to 3 hours of sleep for the last week and a half, and I needed that day to just kind of hit the reset button and relax and just take naps all day. It was, oh, she's just been crazy. But what I did play is I had her in my arm, in my pocket, or in my arm, in my pocket. Yeah, I had my daughter in my pocket. I had her in my arm, and I had my Android TV on, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go through the Play Store, and I found Ticket to Ride on Android TV. It was already, you know, I already bought it. It's already on my phone, but it's one that is converted over for Android TV. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll give this a shot. And it was brilliant. Like, it felt so great. It felt just like, if you played it on the phone, it feels the exact same. It's kind of like it's a little annoying sometimes because you're using the remote to kind of pick where you want to put your trains and pick what you, whether you want to pick a new destination or a route card or what cards you want to pick to put in your hand. But overall, the experience was extremely great, and I was able to do that with my daughter sleeping in my arms for the one of the brief times that she slept in the past week and a half. And again, if you can hear me, or if anybody listens to this that has like these hidden connections with the people that make these games, like Asmodee, I want more of these games transferred over to Google TV, because it was like, it's going to save me when she's up all night and she kind of takes like these 10, 15 minute naps here and then wakes back up and then falls back asleep and wakes back up. If I could be playing something while sitting there, and if you have kids, you know how difficult it is to have your phone and feed a kid at the same time. But I could easily have my remote in one hand and feed her with my other hand, and her laying in the remote arm, if you can picture that, and playing a game. And it was definitely satisfying, and it did help that I did win. So that might be why I liked it so much. But that, as far as my life in board games over the last week, is pretty much it. Now let's go to the homebrew side of things. As you know, I tested out my IPA, my Citra IPA, Belgian IPA, with people at work, and it was pretty much, I mean, I got two different things. So one was it was too hoppy, one was it's not hoppy enough, which you're going to get that when you make a beer, and really, it's taking it from what they like. So the person that said it wasn't hoppy enough, she likes double IPAs. So yeah, maybe it's not hoppy enough for her. So the other guy that said it's too hoppy, I think he's more of like a wheat guy. So a Blue Moon, Leinenkugel type beer. So yeah, it's going to be a little hoppy for him. So if you are a board gamer and a homebrewer, because if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you do both, or you just shut it off when I started talking about homebrew, take everything with a grain of salt. But if they do say it's good, like the lady that left the bottle on my desk saying, hey, my son thought this was great, thank you. There's no, as a home brewer, there's no greater compliment than that. That's just, it's good. It's nice to hear and it's nice to see. But as far as what I have going right now, I still have, and you know what? To be honest, I completely forgot about it. I have that wheat beer still in my fermenter, and it is still under the primary, I guess, because I have a conical fermenter. It's actually called a fast ferment. It's like a plastic fermenter, and you can just swap out the ball, which makes it extremely, extremely convenient to go from your primary to secondary fermentation. So for all you people that aren't homebrewers but just kind of want to learn with this podcast, after you brew your beer, you are going to go through, typically, you are going to go through two types, I guess, of fermentation. So you have your primary fermentation where you have your priming sugar, like dextrose or something for yeast to eat. And you're throwing your yeast in that and mixing the priming sugar in there, and you're giving them a little bit of air. And what they do then is they're taking all that sugar and they're converting it to alcohol and CO2. So that is where most, if not all, I won't say all, but definitely most of your alcohol content is coming. So you'll take your gravity before and after your primary, and you'll see what it drops. And the bigger gap that is, the higher alcohol content that your beer is going to be. So this one has been sitting there for a pretty long time. And I don't have to do the second part of that is the, I don't have to do the secondary. I mean, I do, but all I do is change out a ball, and I just kind of let everything settle again into that ball. And I do that a few times to clear up the beer. But when you're, say you're starting out, say you're listening to this to want to get an idea of how to start, you'll usually start with a bucket. I mean, just about everybody starts with a turkey kettle that you would boil a turkey in, and a Home Depot bucket or some kind of bucket. And you'll throw your beer and your yeast and your sugar in that bucket. And then after a week or two, you'll then siphon or carefully dump that beer into another one, and that will help you polish off or clear up your beer a little bit more. That is much easier with what I have. I don't have to siphon it. I don't have to do any of that. I just change out this ball and away we go. So with that being said, I don't know, and I know it's going to be low because my initial gravity was 1.035, I think. And even if I have a 1.10 final gravity, it's still only going to be like 3.5% alcohol content. And that was definitely my fault when I brewed this. So I did my calculations for boil off, and you kind of have to, like, there's a lot to homebrew. There's a ton. If you really want to get into homebrew, you have to read and look into things, and there's a lot to know. There's a lot of science in making beer, and definitely a lot of math. So what happened is I made up my mash, and I sparged with some water, and then which sparging is just kind of like rinsing that grain or the sugars off of the grain after you've taking the initial grain out of the initial sugar out of the grain. And I put that in my kettle, and I had way too much water. Like, my initial estimate for how much was actually going to steam off and boil off was way too high. So it's kind of like if you, let's say you have 100 marbles in a jar, a little jar, it's going to be more concentrated in your alcohol content, and your gravity is going to be higher. So it's, your alcohol content is going to be higher just by default. You start out with more sugar and stuff for the yeast to eat. The more that they can eat, the less it will go down, and you'll have more alcohol. And then let's say you take that same jar of marbles and you pour it into like a bathtub. That's essentially what I did. I took very little, or what my initial recipe was for 5 gallons, and I assumed I was going to get like 4.8 gallons out of it, and I added 7 gallons. So instead of getting that 5% alcohol that I'm expecting, I'm actually going to get 3.5 to 3. And that's not bad. I'll still drink it. Hopefully it's not too like weedy and just yeasty and crappy, but it won't be the first time that I've made just a crappy beer. But hopefully I might even get to that this week and I can tell you what the alcohol is going to be on it. And maybe, you know, next time I brew, I'll be a little better with that. So that's it for this week. I can't really think of anything else that's happening. I told you the funny joke about work and how I was thinking about Google screwing with me. Brewing beer hasn't been much, and definitely Renegade Games and Fantasy Flight making me extremely happy with these new releases that they're talking about. But this is it. This was episode 2. I hope it was better, and I hope you enjoy, and I hope you keep listening. And tell me what you want to hear in a podcast. I want to keep this base. They're my two favorite hobbies. I love brewing beer and I love board games. So that's not going to change. I enjoy talking about it, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. And I hope I get better. I mean, I know this is new for me, so I know it's something that's going to take a little bit to get used to. I mean, I guess it's not too much different than YouTube, but I'm just sitting here in a quiet room, kind of looking at my microphone and talking. So I really hope I get better, or maybe I'm okay at it right now. But let me know. I have been told by somebody, and I'm not going to release anything, I'm not going to say anything, but there's a game that will be sending out to me, or that somebody is sending out to me, that I'm going to give a little preview in. So if I receive that this week, maybe early next week, then we're looking at probably 2 to 3 weeks away that I'm giving you that preview. But it's a game that is going to be coming to Kickstarter, and I'm excited about it. It looks very interesting, and I can't wait to share that with you. So make sure you keep listening, and definitely tune in for that, because I think it's going to be a good one. But that's it, guys. I hope you enjoy your week. Definitely look out for Google, and if Google is messing with me, somebody tell me. Just share it on Facebook or share it on Twitter. Just be like, hey, Google sucks. But yeah, that's it, guys. And have a great week. And until next time, play more games. And if you do, brew more beers. See you later.